Ferris B'nai Torah presents The Shmooze, an engaging and motivating Mussar and Hashkafa series that deals with real-life issues.
Okay, we want to thank Mrs. Gelb for sponsoring tonight's, the food at tonight's Shmooze in honor of Shirley's birthday. Happy birthday. We're not going to sing. I was having a number of years ago, I was learning with a young man who was then in dental school. He was then not from, and we were studying Chumash, and we got to Shmos, we were learning about the Makas, we were learning about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and at a certain point he said a line to me, he said something like, "Rabbi, this stuff is great with the splitting of the seas and the frogs and the blood, it's so great. If God would show me one miracle, I would surely believe in him." And I didn't really stop then to think about it, but afterwards I realized that this fellow said something that I think a lot of people assume is true and actually isn't. And a lot of people really walk around with this assumption that if in fact Hashem would show me one miracle, one sign, one divine oath, then I would believe in Hashem. Or I would intensify my emunah. And I think that it's not so true, and I'll bring you an interesting illustration to that point. The reason why Hashem brought 10 makas on Mitzrayim, 10 separate plagues, and in fact the reason why Hashem took out the Jewish nation from Mitzrayim is very clearly written in the Psukim. Hashem did this to show the Jewish nation His strength, His might, His glory. And yet, the Egyptians lived through the entire scene, they lived through the entire experience, and they did not become believers in Hashem. They didn't just turn around and say, "Wow, I get it. Hashem created the world, Hashem runs the world." Not only didn't they get it, but throughout the entire experience of the Makkah, throughout the splitting of the sea, throughout the entire scene, the Mitzrayim stubbornly refused to see the point. And miracle after miracle, time after time, did not change their opinion. And I think as we start to look at some of the events of what actually transpired, I think we'll find it's very, very, very eye-opening as to how emunah, how belief works. And in fact, I think we'll get an interesting illustration as to whether a person will be forced to believe by miracles or not. So first, one important observation. The entire Jewish nation were slaves in Mitzrayim for 210 years. It was time for the Bnei Israel to leave, and Hashem decided to take the Bnei Israel out in a very particular way. Now, it's obvious that Hashem is omnipotent. God is all-powerful, and Hashem could have taken the Jewish nation out of Mitzrayim in any which way Hashem wished to. Yet Hashem took out the Bnei Israel in a very particular and exact manner, and before anything happened, Hashem told Moshe exactly the plan. And the Psukim are very clear when Hashem says, the reason why I'm going to do it this way is because, number one, I want the Mitzrim to see, and number two, I want the Bnei Israel to see my strength, my power. And then the Pasuk says something very interesting. The Pasuk says, Eis asher hisalalti b'Mitzrayim. I want the Bnei Israel to see that I played. Hisalalti is a language of I toyed with. Eis asher hisalalti b'Mitzrayim, which I played with the Mitzrayim in Mitzrayim. And the reason is because one of the fundamental bedrocks of our emunah is Yetzias Mitzrayim. We, some now 3,300 years later, relive that experience. It's not just Pesach, it's not just one night of the year during the Seder, but every day, twice a day during Shema, there's a mitzvah saseh to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, because that is the foundation, it's the bedrock of our emunah. It's the one time in history when Hashem revealed Himself clearly, showed His power, and it's something that we're supposed to reflect back on. And I think, as we'll soon see, much of what Hashem did in that Yetzias Mitzrayim was exactly to demonstrate Hashem's power, koach, and to demonstrate Hashem's power. So let's analyze for a moment some of what went on in Mitzrayim, what it was like, particularly not from a Jewish person's perspective, but what it was like from a Mitzri's perspective. So I want you to imagine for a minute, if you would, and to do this, I had to find Egyptian, ancient Egyptian names, and I one time did this research, and I couldn't find. I really tried to find. The best I could come up with was Muhammad and Nahmad. So imagine for a minute, Muhammad is standing there at the Nile. What he's doing is he's watering his cows. The Nile would overflow, and all these irrigation ditches would fill up with water. And his friend Muhammad comes to him and says, Nahmad, did you hear? No, what? Well, this tall, majestic Hebrew came into Mount Paro, and he said he's going to turn all the water in all of Egypt into blood. Yeah, right. No. He talked about this super god, this god who controls the heavens and the earth, and he's going to turn everything into blood. Yeah, right. Cut me a break. Now, obviously, Nahmad has served many different idols in his day. He's heard about many gods, and he certainly is not impressed with any of this stuff. But lo and behold, on the day, exactly as Moshe Rabbeinu said it was going to happen, all of the water in Mitzrayim turns into blood. Now let's understand what that means. If Nahmad is there standing at the Nile and he sees the water turn into blood, it's not just the water in the Nile, it's not just the water in the ditches. Keep in mind, there was no running water in Mitzrayim. Water was brought from the Nile or from the runoff to barrels, brought to the houses, and it's very clear that every drop of water, wherever it was gathered, turned from water into blood. That means if a Mitzri hid away a barrel of water, if he had a jug somewhere, if he had it hidden way deep in his basement, if Muhammad even took the time to listen and say, maybe there's some truth to this, and he hid away some water in his bathtub, it turned into blood. Now, there's a very particular point that the Sforno makes. The Sforno says that the fish died. And the Sforno says that that's an important point that the Pasuk clearly tells us. Why? Because water is very different chemically, constitutionally, than is blood. The fish died because the water didn't turn a tinted color. It's not like the water got a color of red, but the chemical properties, the physical properties of the water were converted to blood. Now, water is thin, odorless, colorless. Blood is thick, it smells, and it's globulous. The metzius, the entity of the water, changed into blood, so that it had all of the physical properties, so that the fish in the Nile, the fish in any agam, in any lake, couldn't breathe because their gills couldn't separate the oxygen from blood because it was too thick. Now that's a shinui teva, that's a change in nature that's so fantastic, that's so beyond the pale, that you would say at least it caught the Mitzri's attention. Now keep in mind, it wasn't just the water in the bathtubs and the water in the barrels and the water wherever it was made hidden. If a Mitzri took a fruit and bit into it, he bit in and received, instead of fruit juice, he got out of that blood. When he spat, instead of spitting water, saliva, he spat blood. Wherever he was, whenever he was, it was, instead of water, it was blood. There was, however, one way that a Mitzri could drink water. And the Medrash tells us that if a Mitzri purchased water with money from a Jew, then it would remain water. So if you can imagine for a minute, again, let me go back to my buddy Muhammad over there. Muhammad's standing in the field, and all of a sudden he sees Yitzhak. And Yitzhak is there drinking water. And Muhammad said, get over here, boy. Yitzhak, get here, Isaac. What's that you're drinking? And Isaac said, oh, sir, it's some water. I know it's water. Wipe that smirk off your face, boy. Now, well, drink that again. And Yitzhak drinks water. Now, come here. Give me that cup. And as Yitzhak takes, now listen to what the Gemara says, as Yitzhak takes this cup of clear, crystal, clear water, hands it to Muhammad, it turns, as it transfers from Yitzhak's hand to Muhammad's hand, from water to blood. Wait, take that back. And when he gives it back, it transfers from blood to water, water to blood. Now you have to understand the amazement that this person should have understood at this time. And imagine for a minute if Muhammad was a little bit of a wise guy, and he said, Yitzhak, now come here, stand here, drink that. And as Yitzhak drinks water, Muhammad said, okay, listen what? You're going to hold a cup, and we're going to drink from that cup at the same point. I'm going to say, one, two, three, on three, you're going to drink, I'm going to drink, and no tricks, boy, I'll whip you. One, two, three, and as Yitzhak drinks water, Muhammad is drinking blood from the same vessel. Now, you and I both know that that's physically impossible. It can't be.